It ceased to be the ships and started to become their home asteroid ports. Then nearby industrial stations had proved tempting targets. The Confederation Assembly's attempt to mediate had come to nothing. Both sides had called in their registered naval reserves and started to hire the independent traders with their fast, well-equipped ships capable of deploying combat wasps. Finally, last month, Omiata had used an antimatter bomb against an industrial asteroid settlement in the Garissa system. 56,000 people had been killed when the biosphere chamber ruptured, spewing them out into space. Those who survived, another 18,000 with their mashed, fluid-clogged lungs, decompressed capillaries, and dissevered skin, had strained the planet's medical facilities close to breaking point. Over 700 had been sent to the university's medical school, which had beds for 300. Alcat had witnessed the chaos and pain firsthand, heard the gurgling screams that never ended. So now it was retaliation time. Because, as everyone knew, the next stage would be planetary bombardment, and Alcat N'Zu had been surprised to find her nationalistic jingoism supplanting the academic aloofness which had ruled her life to date. Our world was being threatened. The only credible defense was to hit Omiata first, and hit it hard. Her precious hypothetical equations had been grasped at by the Navy, which rushed to turn them into functional hardware. "I wish I could stop you from feeling so much guilt," Peter had said. That was the day they had left the planet, the two of them waiting in the officer's mess of a Navy spaceport while their shuttle was prepared. "Wouldn't you feel guilty?" she asked irritably. She didn't want to talk, but she didn't want to be silent either. "Yes, but not as much as you. You're taking the blame for the entire conflict. You shouldn't do that. Both of us, all of us, everyone on the planet, we're all being propelled by fate." "How many despots and warlords have said that down the centuries, I wonder?" she retorted. His face managed to be sad and sympathetic at the same time. Alcat relented and took his hand. "But thank you for coming with me anyway. I don't think I could stand the Navy people by myself." "It will be all right, you know," he said softly. "The government isn't going to release any details, least of all the name of the inventor." "I'll be able to walk straight back into the job, you mean?" she asked. There was too much bitterness in her voice. "As if nothing had happened." She knew it wouldn't happen that way. Intelligence agencies from half the governments in the Confederation would find out who she was, if they hadn't already. Her fate wouldn't be decided by any cabinet minister on politically insignificant Garissa. "Maybe not nothing," he said. "But the university will still be there, the students. That's what you and I live for, isn't it? The real reason we're here, protecting all that." "Yes," she said, as if uttering the word made it fact. She looked out of the window. They were close to the equator here, Garissa's sun bleaching the sky to a featureless white glare. "It's October back there now. The campus will be knee-deep in feather seeds. I always used to think that stuff was a bloody great nuisance. Whoever had the idea of founding an African ethnic colony on a world that's three-quarters temperate zones? Now that's a tired old myth that we have to be limited to tropical hellholes. It's our society which counts. In any case, I like the winters. And you'd bitch if it was as hot as this place the whole year round." "You're right." She gave a brittle laugh. He sighed, studying her face. "It's their star we're aiming for, Alcat, not Omiata itself. They'll have a chance, a good chance. There are 75 million people on that planet. There will be no light, no warmth. The Confederation will help. Hell, when the Great Dispersal was at its peak, Earth was deporting over 10 million people a week. Those old colony transport ships have gone now. Earth's Gov Central is still kicking out a good million a week even now, and there are thousands of military transports. It can be done." She nodded mutely, knowing it was all hopeless. The Confederation couldn't even get two minor governments to agree to a peace formula when we both wanted it. What chance has the Assembly got trying to coordinate grudgingly donated resources from 860 disparate inhabited star systems?